Title: Raga, Reese Patch Offset Using Groove Pool Tricks in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's build a raga-leaning drum and bass riser that feels like it's messing with time. Not in a sloppy way, in that controlled, nasty way where the groove starts tight, then gradually drifts and drags like it's getting pulled into the drop. This lesson is all about using Ableton Live 12 Groove Pool to create progressive micro-timing offset on a Reese riser without manually nudging notes for an hour. You'll end up with something that starts clean, gets more wonky and urgent, and then either snaps tight right before the drop or hard cuts for that vacuum effect. Let's set the session up. Set your tempo to the classic rolling range, 170 to 175 BPM. I'll assume 174, but anywhere in that zone works. Now set your grid to 1/16. That matters because we're building DNB energy, and the groove pool is going to reference the grid division you choose. If your notes are straight 16ths, a swing 16 groove has very predictable places it pushes or delays, which is exactly what we want. Create a new MIDI track and name it Reese Riser Groove. Keep your session organized, because we're probably going to duplicate clips and print audio later. Arrangement-wise, we're going to do an 8-bar riser leading into bar 9, which is the drop. If you write more jungle style and want it punchier, you can do 4 bars, but let's go 8 so you can really hear the timing evolution. Now we need a Reese patch. We're staying stuck, so Wavetable is the fast, flexible option. Drop Wavetable on the track. For oscillator 1, choose a sawish source. Basic shapes is perfect. Turn on unison, set it to around 2 to 4 voices, and attune somewhere around 10 to 20%. You want width and movement, but we're going to manage the low end so it doesn't turn to soup. Oscillator 2, also saw-based, or another harmonically rich Wavetable. Detune it slightly differently from usk 1 so the beating feels alive. Now set the synth to mono. This is important. Reese risers tend to sound more aggressive when there's one voice sliding around, instead of stacked poly note smearing. Turn on glide or portamento. Somewhere around 60 to 120 milliseconds is a good range. It's taste, but don't overdo it unless you want that obvious woo slide. For filtering, choose a 24 dB low pass, like LP24. Start your cutoff low, around 150 to 300 Hz for the beginning of the riser. Add a touch of drive in the filter if you want some grit right away. Now, immediately control the low end. Add EQ8 after Wavetable. High pass at 30 to 40 Hz to remove rumble. And if the patch sounds boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Don't go wild, this is a riser, and we'll be adding saturation later. Now let's write the riser MIDI. Keep this simple because the groove and processing will do the heavy lifting. Create an 8-bar MIDI clip. Pick a single note that fits your key F1, G1, A1, whatever your tune is centered on. For the rhythm, go with straight 16th notes repeating. That's the classic energy builder, and it gives the groove pool consistent targets to swing against. If you want a slightly more arrangement feel, you can do 8ths for the first 6 bars and switch to 16ths for the last 2, but for this lesson, straight 16ths makes the groove effect super obvious and easy to control. Cool. Right now it probably sounds like a steady machine gun bass. That's fine. Now the core trick, groove pool timing drift. Open the groove pool. In Live, that's the wavy lines icon or Command Option G on Mac, Control Alt G on Windows. Go to the browser. Find grooves. Look for MPC grooves or Swing 16 variations. A great starting point is Swing 16-65 or Swing 16-67. Those tend to give you that late, dragging pocket that feels heavy. And heaviness is the whole vibe here. If your riser feels like it's rushing toward the drop too early, you usually want a groove that lands a bit late, not early. Drag your chosen groove into the groove pool. Now apply it to your MIDI clip. You can drag the groove onto the clip, or select the clip and choose the groove in clip view. At this point, don't crank it. Dial it like a producer, not like you're scrolling presets. In the groove pool, set timing to around 10 to 20% to start. Random can stay at 0, or maybe 0 to 5%, if you want a hint of human wobble. Velocity. Use carefully on bass. I'd keep it 0 to 10 max, and honestly often just 0, because you don't want your low end randomly disappearing. And make sure bass is set to 1/16. This is a big one. Bass is not just technical, it's musical. Bass at 1/16 gives that classic DNB micro lurch. Bass at 1/8 gives a chunkier, dancehall stomp feel. We're going to use bass creatively in a minute, but for now, lock it at 1/16 so it matches our pattern. Now here's the main concept. the riser timing gets more unstable over time, but we want it to feel intentional, like it's increasing tension, not like you can't play in time. There are two main approaches. We'll do the clean one first. Clean method. Duplicate clips with increasing timing. Split your 8-bar clip into 4 chunks of 2 bars each. So bars 1 to 2 is one clip, 3 to 4 is another, 5 to 6 another, 7 to 8 another. Make sure each clip has the same groove applied. Now go clip by clip and increase the timing amount. For bars 1 to 2, keep timing around 10%. It should feel almost straight, just a hint of pocket. Bars 3 to 4. Push it to about 20%. You should start to feel a tug like the Reese is leaning back into the beat. Bars 5 to 6. Jump to around 35%. Now you're getting that something is about to happen in stability. Bars 7 to 8. Push it to 50 or even 60%, depending on the groove. This is where it should feel like it's getting messy, but still rhythmically connected. Quick teacher note, if it starts sounding sloppy instead of tense, your fix is usually not add more distortion. Your fix is reduce random and back off the timing slightly. Sloppy is when the listener stops trusting where the beat is. Tense is when they know exactly where the beat is and you're teasing it. Now the performance style method, which is more experimental. Commit and regroove. Set timing somewhere around 35 to 50% and click commit in the groove pool. That permanently applies the timing changes into the MIDI clip. Then pick a different groove. Apply it lightly like 10 to 20% and commit again. That stacking can create a unique ragga swing that doesn't sound like a single preset. But warning, commit strategically. If you commit too early and then change your pattern or note lengths, you'll be fighting baked-in timing shifts. So I like to commit once I'm happy with the rhythm and the sound direction. Alright, now we've got timing drift, but it still needs to feel like a riser, not just a groovy bass loop. Let's build the rise with processing and automation. After EQ 8, add auto filter. Use a 24 dB low pass. Map cutoff to automation and sweep it over the 8 bars. Start around 200 Hz and open it up to somewhere like 3 to 6 kHz by the end. Add a touch of resonance, maybe 10 to 20%, to give it that opening throat effect. Then add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around 3 to 8 dB and turn soft clip on. This helps the riser feel more forward and aggressive as it opens. Optional but very on theme. Redux lightly. A downsample of around 1.2 to 2.5 can add that gritty ragga edge. Keep bit reduction minimal unless you want it to get crunchy in a very obvious way. For movement and width, add chorus ensemble or phaser flanger. Keep the mix subtle early, then increase toward the end. One of my favorite tricks is placing a slow phaser flanger before distortion with low feedback. The subtle motion turns into audible growl once it hits saturator. That's a really fast way to make a Reese feel like it's walking without adding extra notes. Then add utility at the end. Automate width, from narrow early like 0 to 30% up to maybe 80 to 120% near the end. But here's a club-proofing tip. Do not let the final moments of the riser be super wide in the low end. The classic move is to widen as you build, then in the last beat or two, pull the width down a bit. It recenters the energy so the drop stereo elements feel bigger by contrast. Also, it keeps your bass mono-compatible in a club system. Now let's talk about the money moment. How the groove hits the drop. A really sick technique is chaos then discipline. You let the timing get messy then you snap it straight right before the drop. You can do this by making the final half bar a different clip with much lower groove timing, or even no groove. So you go from 60% timing drift back down to 10% or 0 for the last half bar. What that does psychologically is huge. It tightens the pocket right before the downbeat, which makes the drop land heavier and more certain. Alternatively, you can do the opposite. Max the groove on the last beat, then hard cut the riser on the one. That creates a vacuum like the floor disappears for a split second then the drop smashes in. Now one common mistake, grooving sub-heavy notes. If your Reese has a strong sub component, timing wobble in the low end can fight the kick. The fix is layering. Do a two-layer setup. One layer is sub, one layer is mid-Reese. Low layer, keep it tight, no groove, shorter notes if needed, width at zero. Mid layer, apply the groove, distortion, movement, and width. Advanced twist, make the mid layer change its groove bass over time. For bars 1 to 4, set bass to 1/8 with timing around 15 to 30%. For bars 5 to 8, switch bass to 1/16 and increase timing to around 30 to 60%. Even though the tempo never changes, it feels like the drift is accelerating. That's a really pro way to create riser lift without pitch automation. Speaking of lift, if pitching the bass up messes with your key center, do spectral lift instead. Open the filter, increase saturation slightly, and automate a gentle high shelf boost with a Q8 near the end. The listener reads it as rising energy, without it sounding like the bass is turning into a lead. Now, before we finish, we're going to print the result. This is one of the most important habits when you're using Groove, because groove timing can feel live, and once you start arranging and adding sends, it can get unpredictable. Create a new audio track called Reese Riser Print. Set its input to resampling. Arm it, and record the riser section. Now you've got audio you can control. You can fade the tail, reverse a tiny slice, or chop the last bar into 1/16 and do a controlled stumble. If you do chop, crossfade your edges so you don't get clicks. Another teacher note here, be careful not to groove your whole effects world by accident. If you're sending this grooved riser to a big reverb or delay return, those tails can smear in unpredictable ways. A clean workflow is to print the dry grooved riser first, then add your delays and reverbs afterward so the timing stays intentional. Optional arrangement spice. Add a rag a pre-drop jab.